Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day. And ooh, we had a whole lot to talk about, but the highlight of the morning was our two stories. One, about the lady who helped her friend deliver her baby, only to find out that it was her husband's child she helped to deliver. Well, the story has so many peaks and valleys, but, come to find out, he had 30 other women he had cheated on, and all of many of the children had this same identical birthmark, and she decided that despite it all, she would still be a friend to this woman. And she took her in. She was homeless. She now has a home. She now has a family. She now has love. And, you know, we church folk, we need to take a lesson from this woman's book. You know, there's a lot to be said, you know, when we feel people have mistreated us, and sometimes it's definitely mistreatment, hatred, disregard, disrespect. The list goes on. But God still says, forgive. Forgive. 7 times 7. All the same offense. Oh, boy. That's a stab right there. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, things like this, what this woman went through, you know, those are deal breakers. You know, you slept with my friend, and, you know, you slept with this one, and, you know, you cheated on me with that one, and you did this and you did that, and, you know, people ain't trying to hear nothing after that. That's one of the biggest infractions. And, you know, we can't come back from that. But there are people who have been through worse, and they have come back to find an even stronger love, to find a love that is true love, that's real. You know, you put yourself in that position, and, you know, I hear people say all the time, you know, I could forgive anything but that. And, you know, for those of us who claim to be in the army of the Lord, for those of us who claim that, you know, we are loved because, you know, we're Christians and God has taken and changed our lives, you know, we a lot a lot to absorb and a lot to think about. Like I said, you know, this woman, I don't even know if she's claimed Christ, but there was a level of forgiveness here. And like I said, I know that a lot of times, you know, these things that we're talking about here are just unforgivable. But God has cleared up a whole lot of hearts. He's just helped a whole lot of spirits to decrease so that he may increase. And I know some, you know, some couples right now. I know of couples who have had infidelity. And, man, you would never know it. You would never know it. So far be it from us to say, you know, what is forgivable, you know, what, you know, and that with spouses, with friends, with, you know, family, whatever the dynamic is, whatever the dynamic is. So let's just follow this particular lead for this go round. All right. Our other story, our story of the moment. We have this man and this woman who met on the internet, fell in love. He relocated to her location. He became the elder, well, an elder in the church, and she ended up there. Yes, we have the story of the church elder who was sentenced to life in prison for killing his wife of only 18 months. And so much we could pull out of this story. And yesterday we talked about, you know, just the lack of, the church failed. Well, what else are we going to say? The church failed. The church failed. And you know, as I think about this story this morning, you know, we don't know whether the marriage came first and he became an elder second, or we don't know whether he became an elder first, you know, when he got there and then they got married. We don't know. We don't know the sequence of events, but I will tell you this. I will tell you that my mind went to, had the church been on its job, would this woman be alive today? Now, I'm not blaming the church for her being murdered, but what I am questioning is, had the church done its due diligence and vetted this individual and did a little more research? You know, they say after she was murdered, they found that she had been strangled, and the autopsy showed that, you know, she had some old bruises. And she was a minister in the church. And my question is, had, you know, the church, had someone been more involved in vetting him, would they have done enough research that somehow, see, we can't underestimate what God would reveal. I mean, we've seen things come up out of nowhere. Just little indicators that come up out of nowhere. How do we know that God would not have revealed something? Just an extra question mark. And even if they had already gotten married and then somebody found out that something just wasn't right, would she have been here today? What we do know is the church was involved. In order for him to become an elder, the church was involved. And maybe, maybe had something been done a little more. But we do know that if they had only been married for 18 months and he relocated to be with her, 18 months ain't enough to become nobody's elder in the church. Because I know I sure wouldn't choose no pastor in 18 months. So from what the pastors described yesterday, what I've heard independently, what I know an elder to be and who I know an elder to be, If you ain't no way in the world you're going to become a pastor of a whole church in 18 months. No. It's got to be a little bit some more research that needs to be done. No. No. Clearly this says that you could be wrong. Now, I see people wrong when it's longer than that. Listen, in a normal church, a deacon walks for 12 months. Yes, in a regular church, most churches, the deacon is actually walking for 1 year, they call it, where, you know, they're doing the research on him and they're watching how he's going to perform in this capacity of a deacon in the church. And, you know, yeah, that takes at least 1 year. So if you put a deacon through 1 year of monitoring, it's only another, what, 6 months for a pastor and an elder? Nah. Now, we don't know if it was for the whole 18 months. Oh, goodness gracious. There's too many questions. Too many question marks here. But again, my thought this morning is, had someone done or spent just a little more time, would they have revealed that there was something wrong with him? Excuse me. Would that have put into question some more of his character that they needed to check out? Listen, let me tell you something. If the police, let's talk about this morning. If the police questioned him, when he called them, you got to go back and listen to him, because you got to get some fillers here. If the police, he called the police to tell the police that his wife was missing. He wanted to report her missing. And in questioning him, he just became inconsistent enough for them to raise an eyebrow and now begin to ask it some different questions. And then he confessed. What did that, how many conversations was that? One, they said, the report said that while they were questioning him about the report that he was making, that they became a little more, you know, interested in what he was saying, and things didn't sound like, oh my God, in one conversation, but yet the church had him for 18 months at least. Okay, let's cut it down. Let's say the church had him for a year as the elder. So in a whole year, y'all couldn't find out what the people found out in one investigation, in one conversation? See what I'm talking about? That's why I say the church failed. Well, needless to say, she failed. Because all the conversations, they said they cyber dated. Oh, did I just say that word? I couldn't find that word yesterday. They cyber dated for like 18 months. And then he relocated. They got married. And they were married for 18 months. So her laying next to the man every day, she ain't seen nothing. So, oh, Lord. You know, I'll tell you, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but the more we talk and the more you study God's word, the more you pray, the more you connect with God, he just brings things to your realization. And that was my realization this morning. And, okay, so it took me, what, from yesterday to today? Now, again, you got a whole church that had him for, let's say, 6 months to a year to 18 months. You had the woman who was cyberdating him for over a year. And then she lived with him for 18 months. And again, there was some abuse because they found some old bruises. Oh, Lord. This stuff is deep. This is deep. And I have to tell you, sometimes I'm just left speechless at regular life of what we go through, what we're experiencing. Life. This world is a mess. And if we don't grab onto Jesus, we're going to be a bigger mess. Because some of us are a mess with Jesus. Imagine being without him. And who and what you are. Woo! Well, that's how we spend our day. Today is Wow Wednesday. And we're about to get this day started. I always like to say, you know, people call it the hump day because there's some level of anxiety. Yeah, Wednesday is a level of anxiety for some people because they're trying to make it. They have already gone through the first part of the day. They are now trying to figure out how they're going to get over today so they can get through the rest of the week. Well, we got that ready, baby. No, because it's Wow Wednesday here on the G-Time with Pastor Steph. And God has already solved that hump day problem. Well, we don't call it hump day. That's what the rest of the world calls it. We call it, oh, we're going to celebrate today because we're going to give God thanks that he has brought us this new part of the week already. And we are looking forward to some big things today so we can get through this rest of the week and share our life. All right? All right. Well, let's get ready for our girl from Vivian, who is going to bring us our socially conscious segment. I don't even want to know what story she's got going on today. Go tell somebody. That is G-Time with Pastor Steph is on. Make sure you get that healthy breakfast. And most of all, don't go nowhere because we'll be right back.
An important message for people with diabetes. Diabetic neuropathy is a serious complication of diabetes. 1 in 2 people with diabetes has it. Damaged nerves can cause stinging, burning, tingling, numbness, or weakness in your feet and hands. You can be very sensitive to touch, and everyday activities can cause extreme pain. But it's not too late. Contact the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES or diabetes.org, or talk to your doctor.
Good morning again. Oh, welcome back to It's G-Time with Pastor Steph. And it is what? Wow, Wednesday. Thanking God for all that he has done for us, giving us a brand new day to celebrate and learn of him. Yeah. Always a learning opportunity when we wake up. God has decided to invest into each and every one of us. And what better way to say thank you but to study, learn of him. Yeah, all that kind of good stuff. Alrighty. So, I know you don't want to hear from me anymore. So let's talk about girlfriend Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you, Vivian. How are you doing over there?
I am okay. Thank you.
Great. What you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we are starting with New York City's schools. According to the numbers, enrollment at New York City schools continues to fall. They say before the pandemic, there were more than a million students in the public school system, and there are now around 903,000 students currently enrolled. Enrollment fell almost 4% from this school year to from last school year to this school year. Some of the changes in enrollment have been attributed to falling birth rates, surprisingly, which have gone down over the last 15 years. The decrease in enrollment has also been attributed to students who left the New York City school system. There has been a significant rise in students leaving the system. They're saying around 37,000 students have left since 2019 to 2020, according to the Department of Education. And they broke down the move by demographics. They're saying Asian students were more likely to move to Long Island, while Black students were more likely to move to the Southern U.S., and white students were more likely to leave the country entirely. Income has also played a role in the fall of enrollment. Students in poverty were more likely to move to the Southern U.S. or to Pennsylvania, and less likely to move elsewhere within New York. And you would like to think that smaller numbers would be great for things in the school, because that means the kids that are there would get more access to teachers, more access to supplies, and possibly even more money for extracurricular activities. But unfortunately, the decrease in enrollment means the schools lose funding. So as a parent, it may be a good idea for you to stay informed and possibly seek out ways to get the things your child may be losing elsewhere. So if you have the time, you know, join that parent-teacher association, you know, make sure you're staying informed, because things are definitely changing in the school system because of this lack of enrollment. Our next story talks about something we have all been complaining about for a while, and that is the cost of food. With Thanksgiving fastly approaching, reports say that your Thanksgiving turkey will cost you more than it did last year. They say the cost has increased nearly 28% per pound from last year. 28%. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and of course, you can thank inflation for the recent rise in food prices. So they're giving some suggestions for this matter. One of the suggestions they give is to get a different cut of meat, like chicken, more friendly, budget-friendly bird. If you're like me and you don't really love turkey like that, maybe you might want to consider getting a different type of meat. But Thanksgiving ain't really Thanksgiving if there ain't no turkey on that table. So maybe you want to focus more on some side dishes, potatoes, sweet potatoes. Stuffings are still relatively affordable. They're saying check multiple store circular flyers and shop around. If you have to get a rewards account at a new store, you should just go ahead and do that. Also, they say start planning out your menu early so you can be on the lookout for when ingredients go on sale and buy them at the right time. And if your stores around your, you know, your neighborhood are offering them free turkeys, you might want to consider getting that store brand free turkey instead of the more expensive Butterball and all those other types of things, you know, if you're having some issues affording that turkey this Thanksgiving. And with this increase, officials want to remind us not to forget the food pantries, the homeless, and the less fortunate. This time of year, schools, churches, and so many other organizations are collecting canned foods and other goods, so please remember them as you prepare for Turkey Day. As it says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive, so please make sure when you're out there, you know, shopping and preparing for Thanksgiving that you're not forgetting about the less fortunate. Next, we have a story on something I have spoken about here on Socially Conscious before, and that is this weed-infused candy that has hit the shelves in the streets. And unfortunately, A 5-year-old boy was hospitalized after eating gummies that was laced with THC. Reports say the 5-year-old got these gummies while trick-or-treating and was taken to the hospital on November 8th. He was treated and released. As of right now, police believe that this is an isolated incident. And there was a picture of the bag in the article, and it says medicated Starbucks gummies. But the medicated part is very small compared to the Starburst gummies that were printed on the bag. And there were little, you know, weed leaves on the bag. But if you're a child, you don't really know what that is. You're not really, you know, paying attention to that. You're just ripping open that bag and you're eating the candy. So if you are one who is still partaking in that day, make sure to really check that candy bag as your children are finishing off their candy. And our next two stories are both tied for that wow story of the week because I thought it would make good conversation. So first we're starting with Mr. Justin Lindsay, who is a Chick-fil-A owner and operator who has designed a schedule that allows employees to work consistent full-time hours and 3-day shifts. This 41-year-old man says, one of the things I really set out to do when we opened this restaurant in June of 2021 was what I called leading with generosity. For me, that was two main parts. One is pay, making sure we paid a really competitive wage. And the second is time, to provide my teams with more of a balanced approach to the job. So he broke the shift down into two groups, split between 3 days working 13 to 14 hour shifts. He says the program has improved employee work-life balance, burnout, career growth, and retention. So my question to everyone is, if this took off, so more companies were offering 3-day work weeks, but you had to work 13 to 14 hour shifts, would you take that, or would you rather keep the 5-day work week with 8-hour shifts, working 5 days a week with 2-day weekends? Now, they didn't say much about lunch breaks or anything like that, but let's just assume it's the standard, you know, 1-hour lunch break with 2 15-minute breaks or whatever they do, you know, whatever the law is. We would assume he's still following the law. So would you take the 3 days a week working 13 or 14-hour shifts, or do you want to keep your 5-day a week working 8 hours? Let us know. And our last story is a good one. A FDNY EMT is accused of stealing a patient's bank card during an emergency call response. So Robert Marshall, 29 years old, responded to an emergency call at Barbara Fashion's home in Spring Gardens on the morning of August 8th and was caught on surveillance video using the bank card at a liquor store later that night. According to prosecutors, they don't say exactly what the emergency was about, but Mrs. Barbara, who is 79 years old, they say she spent several days at the hospital and noticed the red bank card was missing when she returned home. Apparently, Mr. Marshall went and brought 2 bottles of Moet champagne from a store, and the shopping spree continued when he allegedly used the same card to make purchases at a pizzeria, Buffalo Wild Wings, Key Food grocery store, and a laundromat. Now, Marshall was arraigned on Monday and on 12 counts of indictment, charging him with forgery, falsifying business records, grand larceny, criminal possession of stolen property, identity theft, larceny, and unlawful possession of personal identification information. And if convicted, he is now facing up to 7 years in prison. Excuse me. And it just don't make no sense. And people seem to forget that there are cameras everywhere. And all of that, and now you go into prison for some liquor, some wings, and some clean clothes. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian, B-M, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. As always, thank you to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
What they going to jail for, Viv?
You're going to jail for some liquor, some wings, and some clean clothes. And that's a good job. Now you done lost your job for that. That's ridiculous.
I know. That's what I was thinking when you were reading. I'm like, you gave up your job for what? I tell you, Viv, I tell you. It's like the lack of judgment, and it kind of goes back to, Vivian, what I was talking about in the opening, you know, my opening remarks about yesterday's story. You know, it's the lack of judgment. It's like, yo, what are you doing? Is it worth it at the end of the day? You know, now, if he had a family, I know I'd be the whipped his tail, girl. Oh, you talk about a frying pan over your head. Oh, he'd be eating of the frying pan for Thanksgiving, Vivian.
Oh,
my
goodness
gracious. I just want to make sure I have all of my little points here here. The weed candy from the five-year-old boy. You said the bags had what on it? What did the bag say?
It said medicated Starburst gummies, but the medicated word was printed real small, and the bag looked like a regular bag of Starburst candy, but it had little weed leaves printed on the bag. But, again, it wasn't really, like, out there. They were just real small printed on the bag.
Yeah. You know, considering that we ain't supposed to be doing no trick-or-treating anyway. Now you need to get your child some weed candy. Well, thank God a little five-year-old was okay. Thank you so much, Vivian. You know what I always ask. Please stick around just in case we have some questions. And we give God thanks for your information today. Have a blessed one.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Vivian set for some weed, some wings, not some weed, some liquor, some weed, and some clean clothes. He would have, he'd be packed. You know what? He's already prepared to pack. Yeah, he'd have to go spend a couple of nights at the laundromat. Oh, let me talk to my late day. Let's say good morning to our girl, Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday.
Happy Wow Wednesday to you, too. How are you this morning?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. So we're down, Elder Nitesha today. So you know what we do when we're down one person. We go through each of our stories. So we're talking about the New York City school. Now, here's what kind of intrigued me. I figured it was from the children, you know, dropping out because, you know, parents or relocating. But I found it interesting with the dynamics of the Asian students relocating to Long Island. So they're out of the New York City school number. The black students moving to the South and the whites moving out of the country altogether. And that's what has aided to the decline in the numbers in the New York City school system over the last few years. What's your thoughts in this whole thing?
I'm really not surprised. And part of that is that because when we had the pandemic, if you remember, there were people moving. I mean, left and right.
You're
moving down south, going to Florida, you know, and Florida had the same issue we had. The only difference is that you know, at the time, there weren't as many people dying as New Yorkers. So a lot of people think, oh, we got our own different type of COVID. So I'm moving to North Carolina. I'm moving to Florida, you know. And I did hear a lot of people, you know, even with my job, you know, part of what I had to do was interview people, you know, and find out, you know, we utilize some of their phone numbers, you know, and a lot of times when I call people, they say, oh, I don't live in New York anymore. Well, where are you? Oh, I'm in Brazil. And I'm like, whoa, you know, you took it that far? They was like, yeah, it's crazy in New York. So, you know, I really wasn't surprised because I kind of had access to that information in a, you know, in my workplace. So it really doesn't surprise me, you know, a lot of us that are here in New York are, you know, when we think about our roots, they're mostly Southern. So, you know, we would end up going back to where we started. So it doesn't really surprise me that much.
All right, all right, all right. We're going to go to Shantice, but in the interim, we're not hearing you very clearly. And you know my say, I don't want to miss a thing. You've got to say so. Please work on that sound while we chat with Shantice, please. And thank you for joining us this morning. I do hear you. I'm not hearing you very clearly. So whatever you need to do, you know, maybe it'll fix itself even on my end. But thank you.
Thank you, Tanya.
Good morning, Shantice.
Howdy.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good, good. So we're talking about the decline in the New York City schools. You know, it's like Vivian said, you know, part of this could be a plus because that means that, you know, less children, more access to teachers and more attention and, you know, all the other little things. But unfortunately, it works against us because the funding isn't the same. You know,
mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you, even though you don't have a child in the New York City public school system?
I feel like they need to stop cutting the excuses. You know, the powers that be should definitely utilize this to the students' advantage, you know, to these PTA workers, the ones that work very diligently, now take advantage of the fact that these schools have downsized. You know, there are still a lot of children in this public school system that needs extra tutoring time. As I was just speaking to one of my kids the other night, and they have a hard time in a subject, which is very normal. Okay, so it should be nothing for a student and or their parent to contact the teacher and ask, would it be possible if you came in a little earlier, my child came in a little earlier, and you did this, or during a lunch break, or maybe, you know, after school with a few other students. You know, so this is a prime opportunity for that to now take place since there's this large increase of children who are not, you know, who have left the public school system. It's like, stop. It's always an excuse. There's always an excuse as to why they can't do what needs to be done.
All righty, all righty, all righty. Well, thank you kindly. We now have Thanksgiving on the table. You know, I remember Vivian talking about this last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the shift in cost and how we need to shop early, and people are shopping early. You know, I know somebody who has they've already done their Thanksgiving shopping, and it wasn't even the fifth of the month. But, you know, they had already done it. You know, some people wait until the last minute because, you know, there are those grand sales. But they say that the cost of turkey has increased 28%. What does this mean for you, Tamika, you know, when you're thinking about Thanksgiving?
I'm having an ice sandwich. I'm hoping that you can hear me clearer. I am really having a time with my
better.
Phone today, so I am so sorry.
No, I can hear you much better now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. So, no, I mean, you know, honestly, just going to the store, you know, I pray prior to going to the store, because a lot of times it's almost as if you play a Russian roulette. You go there, and the last time you went there, salad was this price, and now it's this price, you know. Meat, oh, my gosh, you know, like you want to be a vegetarian, but then you think about all of the lists of food and things that you pulled out, and I'm like, well, maybe I don't want to do that either, you know. And it's a real fine tightrope that we walk, and we have to pray, you know, get wisdom, you know, as to where the deals are, you know. And I even think about, well, you know, there were places that I did go, you know, I went to Walmart for certain things, and then listened to the list that you gave, and I'm like, okay, I can't go there either. You know, you try and get, you know, I remember back in the days when you just wanted chicken, if that's what you wanted, you grabbed it and you left. Now it's like, okay, how much is that chicken? That's $7.50. This is $6.59. Take the $6.53. And I mean, it's not that much of a difference. However, you know, you find yourself doing that now. You know, you literally sifting through the meat to decide which one is the cheaper one. And it's hard, you know. And now going to the store, because you know it's going to holiday. It's a holiday. They're going to hike the prices up, and you know it. So it's better to kind of shop for Thanksgiving in April.
Right, start stocking up very slowly for all your stuff, and getting as much as you can, just kind of storing it away. Is definitely something to consider. You know, Shanti, you don't host Thanksgiving personally, but you got to do that store jockeying, you know, get them circulars and, you know, try to grab all of these things. And, you know, turkey not being on the table possibly for some families because, hey, the turkey is too expensive. What would that feel like to you?
Death. No, it would be really sad. It would be really sad because, again, like it was stated, you know, that's if you ain't got nothing else, you could have some turkey with some frosted flakes as long as you got that turkey. It has the signature dish for Thanksgiving, you know. And I was always thinking the same thing, too, especially once the pandemic hit. That's when we really noticed the spike in the price. I was just speaking to someone last night, and they're like, oh, how much do those party wings cost? I was like, some things are at least $20 now. It was like, what? I was like, yeah, it's just stupid. For what? It was the same thing. You know, it's like everyone is now trying to take advantage of the climate, of what's going on. So, you know, God willing, there will be, you know, a lot of stores who get real generous and either start giving away turkeys, or the turkeys will be $5 each, so that everyone will have an opportunity to have turkey on the table, because there's no reason why it should be because we can't afford it because the price has gone up. You know, as bad enough as we can't afford it and the price of turkeys and stuffing and everything is just the same, you know, moderate price. But I can't afford it because the turkey is now $99. It's just stupid. It's like, come on.
It's something to think about. It's something to think about. We got Lady Nicole that's on with us. And let's chat with her a little bit. Good morning, Lady Nicole.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. So we're talking about the fact that the price of turkey has increased 28% per pound. And, you know, some people are looking nice on the table at all. What does that mean for your family, the increase in the prices?
I think that it is absolutely terrible how our economy is going right now, and I feel like it really doesn't have to go that way. I mean, you know, I'm no politician or anything, but, you know, we have a lot of economic power. within this country, period. So I feel like it doesn't have to be that way. I feel like some people are making some crazy mistakes to get us to this place. I think it's ridiculous. It should not be this way. I laugh, chuckle sometimes at when I see like a meme or something where you have a grocery cart that's full compared to a grocery cart that's like a fourth full, and they're like, you know, I used to buy these amount of groceries for the same price. You know, what you could go to the grocery store and spend $100 on at one point, you getting like, you know, so much less now for the same amount of money. So I think it's really sad. Pray that, you know, something can be done. Maybe some companies, like I know that around in New York, I see a lot of like food banks and things, praying that maybe some turkeys can be given to these, you know, places that provide food and people can get the turkeys that they need or whatever else that they need, because it's really a sad situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I don't scroll Facebook very often, but I was scrolling Facebook, and, you know, you have the little doll stoves with the little, you know, with the little pots and, you know, tea kettles and stuff. So they had this this meme where there was a person with, you could tell it was an adult hand, and they had this little pot on the little a baby stove, and they said, "This is what $57 worth of groceries will buy you now." And I just hollered because it is so true when you think about the comparison of, you know, my daughter came home, she went shopping, and she said that came to $69. And I almost passed out. I was like, oh, Lord. Because she had like two bags. And I was like, what? So, yeah, it is so, so different now, shopping and getting what we used to get compared to what we get now is definitely, you know, crazy. Oh, we're talking about the weed candy that the five-year-old got while trick-or-treating, and the fact that, you know, years ago, you know, trick-or-treating had slightly slowed down because, you know, people were afraid of, remember the it was a razor blade in the apple, and all kinds of things people were doing to the food and lacing the candy and, you know, with some kind of injecting the candy with stuff. And now we have got to deal with weed candy. And I'm sorry, my kids just would not be trick-or-treating these days if that was something that, you know, a practice of mine, because it's too risky. And as you see, people don't fail you, because here we go. You got the weed candy. You know, what is trick-or-treating even the same that you would have the desire anymore? Shantice, we're going to start with you.
No. And I had someone say to me on Halloween, oh, I'm out trick-or-treating. I'm like, what winner of a parent? I don't care whether you're taking them yourself, you sending them with other kids or with another parent. Who and why do you think it is a good idea for you, especially at night, because you can't even really say at night or during the day now, because people just don't care. They don't care about whether the sun being up or down. But you are okay with your child going and knocking on a random person's house to retrieve anything from this random person's house? Why isn't this banned? Why are they taking the time to try to ban abortions? They need to ban trick-or-treating, because there's people who are, their goal is to do stuff like this. Now, you know, ain't no adults on their own really trick-or-treating for themselves, for you to be handing out weed anything. Weed candy, weed brownies, weed pencils, weed whatever. So you would make or purchase weed whatever, and now some kids knock on your door and this is what you give them. And unfortunately, your child, because I don't care how much your child says, I want to do this, you as a parent need to have the brain cells that says no, because it's too dangerous. So now this child has suffered on any level because you didn't have the brain cells to say, no, this isn't safe. I was just thought, like, I was like, this is still a thing? What do you mean you're out trick-or-treating? What is that? This is, I don't know.
Okay, Shanti, tell us how you feel. Lady Nicole, what are we talking about here? You know, trick-or-treatment, the fun of trick-or-treatment is gone. It's too many things you really have to be concerned with. Like I said, at one point, it kind of slowed down, you know, because people were lacing the food with all kinds of or candy, with all kinds of things, and more people started gathering and having their own, you know, little household parties, or, you know, they would take their children only to people that they knew. But if we take our kids to people that we know, is this what we got to be worried about now, too? So my thought is get rid of the trick-or-treating. I don't know. What's your thought? Now you the lace and weed. The five-year-old gets a weed lace piece of candy. That was wrapped. So we're not even talking about loose candy or open candy here. What are we talking about?
That is so terrible. But, I mean, you know, it's just a sign of the times. My grandmother, you know, she's gone on. She's passed away. But I hear her voice often. She'd be like, Nicole, we in perilous times. It's perilous times. In her country accent, I can just hear her saying it. She would say it all the time because, I mean, and she said it for years, but the truth of the matter is it was, and it just seems to be getting worse. But honestly, when my son was younger, I used to take him trick-or-treating, and it was a lot safer. I probably shouldn't have, because now that I'm older, looking at it, I'm like, I shouldn't have. And my daughter, she doesn't go. We don't do it. And I really feel like these days and times that we're in, it's almost like when you take your kids out for trick-or-treating, you opening a door, because people are crazy.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff going on. And I think even us as Christians, we really should kind of look at the history of it, how it came about. It's just demonic. It's not something for us. Even though, you know, the Word of God says we are in the world, we should not be of the world. So I believe that we should have our own alternatives. You know, we could do other things. Like, I know sometimes there's like harvest festivals and, you know, different things like that. And like, I think Shantree said taking them to a place where you're familiar with, you know, somebody's house, maybe, you know, the neighborhood can get together and do something on the street, like do a block thing that day for the kids on the block, or, you know, something where if people are trusted, it's safer. Or just, I saw online a friend of mine, they decided that on that day they put a table out, they got the biggest and most candies, and as people were coming to their house, they were praying for them. Some people got saved. So that's a perfect opportunity to spread the love of Jesus on that day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it kills me when I look on Facebook and I see Christian people. I've seen pastors. They are participating in the Halloween. And I'm like, yo, you cannot convert something that was satanic from the beginning, and now you go convert it by participating because you're calling it something else. Trick-or-treating is trick-or-treating. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you slice this pie. I don't care what you call it. It's still the same. So, you know, it's scary to think that we can follow the pattern, like you said, Lady Nicole, we're in the world, but we're following the pattern and we're being of the world. You know, God says that we're in the world, but we should not be of the world. Change it. So whether, I actually like that idea of the drawer. You know, if you're going to be out here trick-or-treating, come on over here to the table, you know. You know, but does that still have the look of? So, you know, we still have to be very crafty as to how, you know, we present things, and we definitely don't want to follow, you know, the world. And of course, you know, this gets people to your house to pray for them and so forth and so on. That's a wonderful thing. But Lady Tamika, what are we talking about here? you know, where we're still trick-or-treating to the point of this five-year-old, you know, getting this lace candy that's wrapped. And as Vivian said, you know, if you looked at the packet clearly, it had a weed leaf on it. It said medicated on it. It's like, this is how the enemy does us. He sucks us in. We ain't paying no attention. And this is what we get. How do we stop this nonsense?
I think we have to stop looking at, oh, well, it's harmless. Oh, it's just a little this and it's a little that. You know, your ideal of, oh, well, it's cute, you know, for little kids to dress up and such and such and such, almost took your child's life out. You know, we got to stop doing it, you know. And the day and time that we live in, it's not just the stranger. Sometimes it's the person next door that you're smiling at. Yeah, how many times have we seen on the broadcast where somebody was next door and they went, you know, I never thought such and such would do, you know, and you know, you hear about somebody chopped up and, you know, brought out on the regular streets. You can't trust anybody, you know, and, you know, it's not just my ideal of being a helicopter cop, meaning my child can't walk 2 feet unless I'm right up under or over him. You know, I don't think it's that. It's just that you have to safeguard, you know. I do remember, you know, them putting razor blades in apples. I also remember them putting stick pins in pretzels, you know.
Yep.
And I remember as a child, you know, when we did go, and I was really small, when we did go trick-or-treating, you know, the thing was we could go get stuff and, you know, whatever wrapped candy we got, we could just open it, you know. Everything else, you know, we had to ask, Mom, can I eat this? You know, can I, you know, if it was an apple, can I, you know, if it was an orange, she had to open it and look at it, you know, those type of things. But, you know, if it was wrapped candy, you know, you could just go for broke, you know. And I'm sure, you know, that was probably the precedence in this case, you know. You don't think that when I take my child out that this is what's going to happen, you, but, you know. And maybe if the parent had taken a second and looked through the entire bag, oh, wait a minute, that says medicine. Is that a little leaf on the can? Does that say medicated? Let me remove this, you know, let me take that out for little Johnny, you know. But 9 times out of 10 said, you know, go ahead and handle it, you know. And at this point, you know, little Johnny's almost, you know, almost losing his life because this was something that, you know, we have to really, really safeguard. It's way too dangerous now, and there's too many different devices. The enemy has an attack out for our children, and we have to guard them with everything that we have.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, as you ladies were talking, I thought about, I took an Uber a couple of weeks ago, and when I got in the car, I didn't notice it at first, but when I was almost home, I saw he had like an AK rifle on the back of his driver's seat. And I said to him, I said, why is this here? And he said, oh, no, it doesn't mean anything. And I was like, hurry up and get me home. Because at this time I could not walk, you know, on my own. You know, but I was like, just get me home.
He had an actual gun or a picture of it?
No, a picture of the gun. Shanti, now, in no way in the world.
I'm about to say, Pastor, you sipping on chewing gum.
No, I'm trying to get somewhere here, Shanti. No, not an actual gun. If I had an actual gun, I'd be up out of the car. I don't care if I had to crawl out. I was like, hurry up and get me out of the car. And, you know, I got out, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. And maybe a day or two later, I actually saw, I was waiting, doing something, and I saw a car drive, a regular car, drive by. It was like a light blue car, and it had a picture on the outside. On the door, it had the same picture of this huge AK rifle on it. Where am I going? It's blatant. You know, at one point it was blatant that we should not do this. It is blatant that we as a people have no business celebrating Halloween, taking our children trick-or-treating, but it's the subtle things. It's once you get in the car. You don't see it on the outside of the car, but once you got inside of the car, That's when it was revealed to you in a different way, that whatever this rifle means, it's out here. And that's the way we have to look at this holiday. It's all this little subtle stuff that goes on that we think is fine to be a part of. I thought it was fine to get in the car because I didn't see the AK-47 rifle on the outside. But when I got in the car, it was something different. And that's what we're going to have to make sure we pay attention to. That's like Tamika said, you know, that small wrap candy. Years ago, I remember, we throw out all the candy that's loose. We keep all the candy that's wrapped. And now this world is saying, you can't even trust us to do that. That, oh, we did put a weed leaf and the word medicated on it, but because you're not thinking that people actually would do something like this, you think it's safe. Well, the enemy is showing us that it's not safe. It doesn't have to be blatant, but it does not mean it's safe because it's not blatant. So for those of us who possibly, you know, all of us at one point have celebrated Halloween, went 16, took the kids, took a team. But like Lady Nicole says, listen, leave that practice alone because it's too dangerous. People have definitely, you know, shifted all of the fun, and now it's evil. It's always been evil. It's always been an evil holiday. So why people act evil? Listen, it is what it is. All right, we're still talking about our social economy. Yes?
I was also thinking about it. Now, if your child had, you know, died, then now you got to go back to all of those households to find out who gave you candy. Now, who's going to confess that they gave you weed candy?
Absolutely. And are you going to remember everywhere you were?
Exactly.
You're not even going to remember every door you knocked on. All you're going to be able to say is the parameters. Yeah, we only walked, you know, Sutphin Boulevard. We only walked 125th Street. We only walked Brooklyn Avenue. You know, that's if
you went with your child. Because there's a lot of parents that are just sending these kids out on their own.
That's true. That's true. That's true because you're in a pack. Now it's safe. Very true, ladies. Very, very, very true. Okay. Well, we got our wow story of the FDNY EMT dope who, you know, picked up this lady, this elder, for a health call, took her to the hospital. While she was in the hospital and got back home, you know, when she got back home, she noticed her card, her bank card or credit card or whatever was missing, only to find out that Mr. Robert Marshall had purchased some Moet, champagne, pizza, or Moet, whatever you call it. He had gone to the pizzeria, he had gone to Buffalo Wild Wings, and he had shopped at Key Food as well as done his laundry from the lady's card. And now he faces up to 7 years in prison because he was caught on camera. Wow, are you really dumb not remembering that every time you run a card, they gonna know who you are? Well, Vivian says he's going to jail for liquor, wings, and clean clothes. What do you say, Lady Tamika?
Oh, welcome to Big Bubba. I could see Big Bubba standing next to him going, you so smell good. You big dummy. Like, I mean, haven't we learned yet? Over and over, we're taking people's cars. And here's the thing. I guarantee that's not the first time that he's done that, whether he's done it to a family member, he went over to a friend's house. You underestimate because you say, oh, I must have misplaced my car. You know, I'm walking through the house, you know, and I have misplaced my car. So you automatically think, oh, well, I just misplaced it. You know, I'm grateful that, you know, we live in a day and time that you're not going to get but so far. You're going to do that thing, and it's going to come back, you know. And God has a way that's unbelievably sweet that gets you. You're going to do it? trust and believe, it's going to ricochet. And that's exactly what happened, you know. And so, like I said, you know, we're always talking about Big Bubba and Big Sherrill. You know, Bubba be standing next to him, welcome, you know, welcome to the spot. You sure smell good. And, you know, we'll know exactly what happens afterwards. Because, you know, Big Bubba like people to smell good.
Wow, you send the people to Big Bubba again. Oh, Shanti. Vivian says, liquor, wings, and clean clothes. They took you to jail.
They're like dumbest criminals. They can trace where you've used the cards. It's not cash. And I bet you he used it right around where he lived, like a dummy. The Buffalo Wild Wings by his house, the liquor store by his house, you need a pizza and wings, but whatever. The pizzeria by his house. What was the other one? Oh, laundromat or dry clean, whatever he did with his clothes. I can guarantee that was all either near his house or her house, because they just never think. It's bad enough that you're using something that can be traced, but y'all don't ever, like, go to another state or something. Y'all stay right in the hood and use the card. And like she said, and like you said, Pastor Steph, I always thought that, like, when you hear people who do something dumb like this and they have really good jobs, it's like, I wouldn't kick you in the Adam's apple just because of what you did, but wait, you lost the job for this? Oh, no. Like, what? I would really love to know, at what point did it switch, did the priority switch from saving a life to stealing your credit card or your debit card, whichever one it was? At what point was this a plot when you got the call? And while y'all are rushing over to the house, you said to yourself, I hope they got their stuff on them, because I'm going to take it. Or was it while your partner was driving, you were in the back, and did the pocketbook fall, and part of the credit card partially came out on the floor, and you was like, ooh, this is my opportunity. Like, at what point did this become a plan? You know, it wasn't really a plan. But at what point did this become a plan for you? And that's a really good job. I know someone who works for FDNY. That is a really good job. Or because you wanted to have wings and liquor and chill and watch Netflix. I don't know. The mentality of people now is just sick. So you can't even rely on getting to the hospital without... So you have to hope that if you're in the back of an emergency, back of an ambulance, that you're coherent enough to hold on tight to your wallet or your pocketbook. This is crazy.
Well, Shanti, you know what I was thinking about? Remember when your grandmother, we would get to the emergency room and we'd be like, she had taken an ambulance. We were like, why did you
bring goodness. She had her whole life savings. Forget the grandmother who got robbed because all her money was under the mattress. And the grandchild to know hers is with her.
Yes.
In the ER.
Yeah.
In the back. And we go and we're like, okay, or she'll ask her if there were times, like you said, Pastor Steph, if there were times when she wasn't that bad or she was, you know, aware enough that she may ask for a soda or some chips. And she'll hand me $100 bill. Why am I breaking $100 bill in the emergency room?
You really have to be very careful. Oh, my goodness gracious. And older people don't really think like that. You know what I'm saying? When I would have to get in an ambulance, I take my ID, I take my health card, and that was it. But, you know,
hey,
I don't. Oh, yes. Yes, I ain't going nowhere without my husband. I ain't going nowhere without the iPad. I would sooner leave the ID and the health card, but you better believe I got that iPad. Lady Nicole, what are we talking about here? You gave up a good job for a moment of pleasure. What's going on?
That is unbelievable. My thought was about the job. Like, I want to know the thought process. I want to know what happened. Where was your mind? And you know what? I mean, like somebody said, he probably has done it before. And if you didn't learn then, well, bruh, you're going to learn today. I mean, because you going to jail. I mean, was it worth it? He got the job. You have some money. So why you got to go? Is it greed? Was it just your mentality where you came from? You got sticky fingers. You can't help yourself. Are you a klepto? Is there some problem there? Like, man, what is going on? That's really, really sad that seriously you got to be sick and think about keeping your stuff together because the people that's supposed to help you get back to health are literally taking your stuff. I mean, I'm sure, you know, now they need to backtrack. They need to check out. What's
going on?
I don't know. It makes me sad. It's very, very sad. Help.
You're right. Because if you track him, he probably then did this to some other people who claimed that they had stuff missing, Lady Nicole, and, you know, there was no way of tracking it. You're absolutely right. And to answer your lady, you know, you lady's question, they have said that a lot of people, it's momentary. It's a momentary lapse of judgment. So in other words, it's an opportunity, a moment of opportunity. They're not really thieves, you know, in that sense. They have not made a lifestyle of being a thief, but that moment of opportunity, like Shanti said, maybe the pocketbook fell. And you saw the credit card. You're like, you know what? Let me take this credit card. You know, I mean, we do understand that it would have to be on your heart, but that's what they call it. I can't. It's a name, but it's something like a moment of opportunity that you see this chance to do something, and you jump out and you go ahead and you do it. And that may have been where it started, and now he's into some type of a lifestyle. But one of the things that crossed my mind also was you didn't even take a credit card and use it for something that was real important. You know what I'm saying? That you could stand before the judge and say, you know what, Your Honor, my child was sick and we needed some medicine and we couldn't afford it, and you know, I went into Rite Aid to buy, you know, that children's Advil. You can't even say that this was something important. You went and used it on champagne, wings, and pizza at the grocery, at the supermarket, and to do your laundry, which cost, what, $10 to do your laundry? You know, so he probably went to Key Food to get the laundry detergent, and then he went, to the laundromat. So it's like, this is, not only was it dumb, but you didn't even have a good reason. You didn't even use it for a quote-unquote good purpose. So you know what? You're just dumb, and you need to go to jail. Because you know what? It's okay. You just made room for somebody who really needs the job, who will appreciate the job. So go ahead. You spend time in prison for something stupid while somebody else gets to come up. So bye. Talk to you later. Because here's my thing. Were you really saving my life? Were you should you have been taking my pulse when you were taking my credit card? Should you have
that
been
Moet was
my
on his mind when he took that credit card?
Yeah, right. What were you doing in the back of this rig where my temperature could have been, you know, 150.0, but you too busy taking my credit card, so I'm dying on the back of the truck. So you know what? Go spend time in jail and think about life, because now my question is, what were you doing the other time? Were you sitting there scrolling through your phone? So see, all that kind of stuff ends up coming to my mind. So, thank you, Vivian, for your news. Thank you, ladies, for indulging me in our socially conscious news conversation. And we are going to talk today about the mistakes women make while dating. Oh, boy.
You know, we've been talking about some stuff lately, and this one came across me last night. And I was like, you know what, well, we need to help. You know, the men on Fridays, oh, they school us. Oh, do they school us. Brother Al, Pastor KL, they have told us a whole bunch of things that they men do, the mentality of men, how they play us, how we set ourselves up to be played. So, you know, we're going to talk to these ladies today about some things that, you know, that are done while you're dating. And it just ain't cool. It just is not smart, however you want to say it. So we're going to talk about these dating mistakes. Oh, we're going to start with you, Lady Tamika. They say playing the unavailable game. You know, you're they say making yourself unavailable either when you're scheduling a date or by playing, you know, around on the first meeting, or, you know, you're trying to, you know, let him know either way, you know, or you play this game either way where, you know, it's hard to schedule opposed to just being upfront and saying, yes, I want to date you, or no, I don't want to date you. What are we talking about here, Lady Tamika?
I think at times, well, I'll be honest and, you know, I'll be real. That was what I did, you know, back in the day, you know, in my former life. You know, it was like, well, okay, Wednesday maybe. No, you know, you get close to Wednesday and I would say, no, I'm not available. You know, because I thought that that's what I was doing. But sometimes what you could do is turn the person off. It's like, okay, I can't seem to get with you. You're so difficult, you know, that they give up. They don't even try, you know, because, oh, every time I try, she, you know, she finds something else to do or she finds something else, you know. Honestly, I think in some instances it could benefit you because it all depends. You know, if we're dealing with somebody who is the representative, in that sense, you know, a lot of times they're turned off and they're gone. But, however, you might also turn off the good one as well.
All righty. What we talking about, Shanti? You know, playing like you're unavailable.
A lot of that has to do with your pride, as a woman, not wanting to seem so available, not wanting to seem like you're just sitting around waiting for him or anyone to ask you out. So now it's like, oh, well, I don't know. Let me check my schedule. You know you ain't got nothing going on. Just stop. It's either you want to go out with the man or you don't. And when you start off like that, playing that game because of your pride, now if the relationship progresses, you carry that into what would then possibly turn into an actual relationship. So a lot of that has to do with, you know, pride. Like, I'm not finna make myself seem like, you know, I'm available. Let me tell him I got to get back to him. Let me, you know, let me act like I'm looking at my phone and my schedule. You don't keep no schedule on your phone. Stop. So a lot of that has to do with pride.
All righty. Lady Nicole, what are we talking about? You're a beauty, too. You know, we got three beauties on this line. And, you know, what do we do when we're playing the unavailable game? Is it a smart thing to do when you're dating?
I think it's something that we've been taught to do, and I think it's definitely, I don't agree with it. I think it's definitely deceptive. I think, you know, just looking at history, you know, how women have come, how, you know, it has always been that we've been, you know, we have to fight for our rights to vote. We have to fight for this, and there's still a fight. We, you know, if you look at all of the differences between men and women, I think we take that and so we try to use it kind of like as a power thing. And we understand that, you know, men do like to pursue a woman and they tell you, don't make yourself so available. Honestly, you should have a life before you meet him. You ought to be doing things, but I think you need to communicate, hey, you know, I can't, if you want to do something, I'll make time for you. Not that, you know, I'm sitting waiting for you because I got a life. I'm doing things. I was doing before you got here. But because, you know, I want to get to know you, I will make the time to spend with you.
All righty, ladies. All righty. Oh, I like this one because this one is a little controversial. So they say one of the mistakes that women make while dating is they demand too much. So they say, you know, you have a simultaneous demand of they got to pay for dinner or drink. They got to go to the spot you want to go to. You know, he has to, you know, text you first. They got to help you with stuff. They got to do what you want them to do, what you say to do. And they're saying that there's an overload on your demand. Not that you shouldn't have any, but that there's an overload on demand. What do you say, Shanti?
That, yes, it shouldn't be this 100% catering to you as a female, again, starting out, because if it ends up going into a relationship, then that gets carried into the relationship. So you want to be able to show him that, you know, you're able to, okay, so if we did something that I suggested this date, then we could do something that you suggest the following date, or vice versa. You know, it doesn't, okay, what you're showing him is that unless this is a situation where it's catering to me, I'm not with it. That's what you're telling him, and that's what you're showing him. So now if he then starts to become too extra, now a lot of the times as women, now we feel like that's too much. Like, all right, you're smothering me, you're on me, like, go be with your friends, like, okay. But this is what you've introduced to this relationship, even from the very beginning, even when you guys were just dating. So you have to make sure that you're showing that you are also enforcing the importance of there being a balance. There has to be a balance. You don't always have to make the first move. You don't always have to recommend the restaurant. You don't always have to be the one to drive. You don't always have to be the one to pay, ladies. Okay, after the first date, if he initiates, okay, but, you know, moving forward, you want to show that you understand that there has to be a balance.
All righty. Lady Nicole, you know, they're saying that, you know, one of the lack of better decisions in dating is, you know, you're demanding just way too much. You know, everything has to be you. Would you agree?
No, I don't. I think that definitely can become lopsided. It can become definitely off balance, and it can certainly become a problem. It may be, you know, one way at the beginning when that happens, but I can certainly see as time goes on, as the relationship develops, it could be an issue. So it does need to be a communication and talked about, like, okay, you know, let's go here. You pick where we go this time. I pick where we go next time, or we come to an agreement, like, we both want to go here. I think it definitely should not be one-sided. It should not be all about one person and what they want to do. That it just eventually, that's going to blow up. That's not going to work.
All righty. Oh, Lady Tamika, you know, listen, I should have my demand, but should you have all the demand?
A lot of times when you start off that way, you end up progressing into that area, you know. And so a lot of times initially, you know, he'll say, oh, well, okay, fine, she just wants to do such and such and such. After a while, he'll get agitated. It's like, okay, well, I wanted to go to such and such place. Well, I said that we were doing such and such, you know, and instead of him telling you, you're trying to figure out why all of a sudden he's missing an action. You call him, he don't answer the phone because he's tired of doing what you want to do. You haven't given him any options. It's almost as if, you know, you got him wrapped up, tied up, and he has no choice, you know, except for to do what you want to do, when you want to, you know, at your age. And you'll hear him actually say that. No, you know, everything is the way you want it. And obviously, I'm not, you know, a valid partner here. So if that's the case, then I'm gone. You know, and he'll leave quickly because, you know, some way, somehow he dealt with it. And after a while, he just got like a, you know, a shaking bottle of soda and just popped.
Absolutely. Lady Nicole, it's your turn to start. We're talking about the mistakes that women make while dating. And one of the things that they are saying is it's too little femininity. So in other words, the woman is too aggressive. You know, now she's just she's too bossy. You know, there's no dependency at all. There's too much aggressiveness. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry, I'm outside if y'all hear me, but I think some women actually are. I'm going to agree with that. I think that, but the reason behind it is culturally sometimes it could be, you know, that they've been raising children by themselves, they've been hurt behind men, and they are too aggressive. Or some people, it's just their personality. And I feel like we have to realize that and understand that we cannot put our aggressivity on others all the time. We got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Sometimes it's good. You have to be assertive. You have to be aggressive in some situations. But there are some situations where you got to pull back and be able to compromise and look at that situation and say, you know what, let me just hear somebody out. Let me hear their side. Let me, you know, be more agreeable. So I'm going to have to agree, especially as black women, and even more so because I'm from the West Coast. On the East Coast, this is an aggressive culture here, more so than where I come from. So I'm having to, you know, with my children, my kids, my daughter and her, some of her friends, they're very aggressive. And I have to teach her that she has to be more assertive or people are going to run over her. But I don't want her to get to the place where, you know, when she begins to date, that it has gotten so big, so much that it's overbearing for a man. Because a lot of times men don't want women that are overly aggressive. It's that balance again.
All righty. What we talking about, Lady Tamika? You know, they're saying that there's too little femininity. And, hey, you know, that's just too much for some men. You know, give me a woman. I don't want no man. I want a woman. What do you say?
Yeah, I am one who definitely believes in that, you know, adding the femininity, you know, every now and then. And it, you know, if you're not that type of woman, then, you know, do something, you know, get your hair done, you know. If you're not the nails and eyelashes, you know, you don't have to be that. But at least every now and then put on a nice skirt, you know, let him be able to look at you and adore, you know, the gift that God has given. You know, you were meant to be beautiful. And so every now and then it doesn't hurt, you know. Even if you've got a nice pair of slacks that makes you look a certain kind of way, you know, alluring, attractive, make yourself presentable. You got on a do-rag, you know, T-shirt, you know, you know, that type of thing. First thing in the morning, the FEC come over, you know, for breakfast, and you ain't even trying to make yourself look, you know, presentable. Every now and then, you know, it doesn't hurt. Let him see. You know, he goes through a whole lot, especially if he works in a workplace where he's got a bunch of men. He comes home and, you know, or he comes to visit you or whatever the case may be, whatever your dynamic is. If you're married, of course, he comes home, he does the same thing that he saw first thing in the morning. You had on your bonnet first thing in the morning. He gets home in the evening, you still got on the bonnet. Work to make something so that when he comes home, not just the household has a nice fragrance, you do. Put on a little perfume, something that smells nice, so that, you know, when he gets, oh, that's the best, you know, he has something that he happy to come home to. He has something that he's happy to come visit. You know, when he comes over on the weekends, you know, come see you. At least make yourself look adoring and alluring to something that he, you know, he wants to look at.
All righty. Shanti, you know, there's not enough femininity. You're too aggressive. You're too bossy. And a man does not want to date that. What say you?
They be lying. Nah. That's been a complaint from a couple of my exes. My personality was too aggressive. And I had to tap into Jesus. And he had to teach me how to have the balance, because I had just gotten to a point where it was like, so what? You can't do it. That means you are not the man for me. But then I had to realize that, you know, every man is not the same, you know, because I had one ex where if I said boo, he cried. And I had another ex where if I didn't cuss him out, he didn't feel like I loved him. So you got to really learn who you are. And really, you know, in addition to allowing God to teach you the way he needs you to be, because, you know, you can't move according to people because people don't know what they like, so they'll have you all over the place. But in having that balance of allowing God to teach you how to move, because just like Lady Nicole said, and I agree, I have said, because I really feel and believe, and I feel like God is really showing me this, that there's a certain level of aggression that God has intentionally left me with, but to use for him. You know, like when it's time to minister, when it's time to evangelize, when it's time to get his word across to people who are so gung-ho about being against him. And, you know, there's the time for me to use the aggression. And then, more than that, there's a time for me to be calm and to be quick to hear and slow to speak. I have to memorize that verse. Because you have to understand that you have to really be on point with the way your personality is, because whether you're dating or not, you're still used to attract people to Jesus. So I can't forget my initial and main mission here in life just because I want to date you or because you're saying you want to date me. So ladies, allow God to teach you how to use the aggression that he is leaving you with, or if you've never had any aggression and you've just been way too passive and he's now trying to instill a little of that in you, just tap into him so you can know how to move, because, yeah, you'll just be labeled a bully. Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
All righty. One of the last things that they talk about is, you know, the fact that women are flighty. Women are flighty. You know, they can't, you know, make up their mind. You know, it's one thing to play hard to get. It's another thing, you know, you're here, you're not. You're here, you're not. I want to date you. I don't want to date you. You know, and that's one of the biggest mistakes they say that women make. You know, so what are we talking about here, Lady Tamika?
Oh, nothing turns a man off better than you not having a fine choice decision, you know, just all over the place, you know, he can't figure you out, you know, and, you know, it's frustrating, you know, if you turn the tables around, you know, and it's happening to you, you know, you can't figure out where he's going, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you walking hand in hand with an individual and in the middle of the street, they just decide to turn around. You know, it unfortunately, you know, if you visualize it that way, that's exactly what you're doing to the individual. You know, it's okay, we were walking here, I understand what you're doing, you know, we get halfway in the middle of the street, you just decide to do a great big circle. What are we doing? You know, it would agitate somebody, you know, and for you to do it once or twice, okay, fine. A few impulsivities, that makes sense. But just all of a sudden, just all over the place all the time, I don't know what you're doing. I can't get a grasp of you because I don't know what, you know, where your life will be or what your attitude or disposition is, can drive somebody literally crazy.
All righty. Shanti, you know, women are flighty. You know, they don't stand still and let the man know what she wants, and or she's constantly changing her mind. That's a dating mistake, they say, that hits the top five.
That's annoying to other women before you even get to the man. you like, what is wrong with you? You know, and that just shows you the stability level of that woman. You know, because, again, this is how she is with herself, with her family, with her friends, with her job. No one wants to deal with a woman who is so indecisive. So now we start to question your brain cells. Like, okay, well, what's going on? How long have you been all over the place? And then you'll start to show people that you're all over the place, again, in every area, with every decision that you have to make. So no men. Listen, men are difficult enough. Don't help them be difficult. And when we move like that, we help them be difficult. If you're able to find a man who, even if it might be wrong, but he knows what he wants, you need to make sure you are 100% on point. Because when it's time for you to now set them straight, but you can't even set yourself straight. Now, this is just a disaster. Yeah, so you're going to have to get that together in the Lord. Amen.
All righty, all righty. Oh, Lady Nicole, you know, you're all over the place. You're driving the men crazy. And as Shanti said, other women crazy. You know, what are we doing if we say we want to date, but we're indecisive? We're all over the place. Does that mean you're even ready to date?
That's all bad. You need to get yourself together. I'm like Shantice. I'm not going to even deal with you as a woman. If it's somebody coming and you trying to be a friend, you all over the place, I don't even want nothing to do with you. Just get out of here. So I think definitely for men, if somebody is doing that, it's definitely going to put a question in his mind. Like, if you like that with me, apparently you really don't want to be with me. So why should I even waste my time? Because based on your actions, it's telling me, since you acting like you aren't sure and flighty, you probably don't want to be with me. You know, so I would just be, that's all bad. No, anybody got time for that. It's like, it reminds me of a squirrel. You squirrely. You know how when you watch a squirrel, how they're so fast, and they over here, they over there, they just dart back and forth, back and forth. Ain't nobody got time for that. That's all bad. You need to get it together.
All righty. Oh, ladies, you have done a fine job with helping these ladies who are listening, who are out here dating or trying to date or want to date, you know, the mistakes that we make and how we need to curtail this behavior. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Everyone have a delicious Wednesday.
Thank you.
Take care.
All righty. Thank you, ladies. Oh, it's the top of the hour. And this is what we like to do every Wednesday to finish off our morning. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. How are you today? You doing good over there? You doing good over there?
I am laughing over here because some of the things I used to do. So I was over here counting.
I did that.
I'm still doing that, but I ain't dating.
Wow.
But I'm
and wow. So now that you have an opportunity to give us our word regarding the things that, you know, have been spoken about, the things that you've reflected on in your own life, you know, how does this work into a faith over fear issue?
Well, okay, Lord, I was just thinking of how when we don't know ourselves as a female and what our goals are or what we're striving to be, the kind of woman that the Lord has made us to become, that we don't know or love ourselves. That was first what I was thinking. I was thinking also that when you are in confusion and we blame everything of our past, you know, our growing up, but we have to get to the point of wanting to be better and to do better. And when we don't want more than what we see, instead of going in the direction that what we have a custom of being around and knowing that we don't want that, no, we don't want that in our adult life, or we don't want our girls to become the same, that we have to step out on faith and know that God, and trust in God to know that, to lead by him. So that was my thought, as well as when I was saying that some of the things that I had done because I didn't know who I was and I wasn't loving me. And I felt that I, in my weak part, I can control you, meaning the man. I can control it through through him and being able to do and say what I want. You know, you didn't have a say. So in that part of not knowing yourself and want to rule everything, that now you will be by yourself because you have no room for someone to love you. You have no room for someone to even just care about you or even want to be with you. As the ladies were saying, you know, some of the things, as a woman, you don't want to be even around that female, you know, because of you wishy-washy, you know what I mean? And we know that if you don't love you, how can you even try to be my friend? Because you have to be able to know where your goals are. One thing about women, if you don't set yourself in a goal, well, people, period, really. But since we're talking about women, being able to have any goals for yourself, to know your destiny, to know what you're trying to accomplish in life, you know, even as a mother, even as a girlfriend, you know, friends, period, all the way across the board, that if you don't know what you're trying to create and to become, you're lost. So if you don't lean on God and being able to ask God to lead and guide me, Lord, this is one of my weak spots. Lord, I don't know how to do this. Lord, why do I say this? You know, where is it at? Get to the root of it. I don't want to be like this anymore. Even if you're struggling with those issues now, say to the Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. Because first you have to acknowledge that you have an issue. So now you're able to open up that door. And Lord, I need your guidance. I need you to direct me. Because in the part of my life, nobody's going to want to be with me. Nobody's going to want to be around me. I won't know how to become to be the wife. Even when you're dating, one of your things should be that I'm trying to learn how to be not just the woman that God has me to be on my own, but to be able to be that mother, to be able to be that wife, you know, in the future. So therefore, if you don't be able to acknowledge it, you won't be able to go nowhere. And when someone tells you don't, and this was one of the things, people used to say some of those things to me that I was like that, and my first, I get defensive. No, I'm not like that. You can't tell me that. And then they'll give me, well, you did this, you did that, you did this. And then I would go home, and it would start to play back in my head. And then I would say, oh, yeah, I did. I was a little loud. Oh, yeah, I was a little aggressive. Oh, yeah, I was, you know. And then now where do you go from there? So you got to be able to know and to lean on the Lord and ask him to change me, Lord. I don't want to do this no more. The word tells us to examine ourselves. So you have to examine and be transparent with God, with yourself, and to be able to open up, to be able to change, to have a change in your life. In this time and season, let's get it together, ladies. Don't be able to not want to, for people not to be with you and for you to be alone and being able to be sheltered by yourself. Love on Jesus. Love on yourself. And then being able to go out there to be able to date, because you have to be able to compromise. And all in life is compromise in any kind of relationship, not just with a man, but with any kind of relationship, relationship with your pastor, relationship with other women, relationship with your siblings. No matter what a relationship it is, you have to be able to compromise, and you have to be able to admit your mistakes and to admit things that you don't know and to admit that I need some help. And then you'll be able to become a better woman. You'll be able to come closer to the Lord and allow him to come in. And then you'll see the progress inside of the purpose of you, of where you're going, and also know that it's a process in the whole thing. So don't be able to push people away, being able to love up on them. Have the faith with the Lord. Believe and trust in him that he can do it. With you saying yes to him, that is my faith over fear.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for that segment today and those words of wisdom. We pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same. God bless you, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take this opportunity to hold hands and hold hearts at this moment. Lots been said today. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord of yesterday, Lord of today, and Lord of tomorrow. Lord, we just salute you today as you have decided to introduce us into a brand new day, into a brand new tender mercies, God, into brand new opportunities, God, into brand new love, brand new kindness, brand new generosity. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for thinking of us on today and just calling our name so that we can rise up and live to serve you one more day, God. Lord, we thank you for all of the words that have come across today. So much advice, so much level of guidance, so much level of caution, dear Lord, and it could only come from you. You know, we could have all the knowledge that we have, but without wisdom, we are nothing. And we thank you, God, because it's you. It's your spirit. It's understanding who you are and who you want. It's your written words that help us to move and navigate from moment to moment, from place to place in life. God, we talked about dating. And Lord, we pray that as all the ladies have said, you know, this stuff filters and it actually starts with our regular relationships. We're not going to know how to date, God, if we can't handle our regular relationships. And we thank you, God, because you always approach that. That's what you talk about day by day, how we interact with one another, how we have learned to respect one another. God, we talked this morning about forgiveness. We talked about cautioning ourselves to be more alert and aware, ask more questions, be more observant. God, we're just saluting you today because just in today's presentation is so much. It's loaded with so much, a wealth of information, God, and to think that you had this all set up for us, dear Heavenly Father, that as I've said before, God, that, you know, we wake up and we're kind of, you know, trying to figure out what's going to go on today and what am I going to focus on today and, you know, what should I do today and who should I talk to today and what things do I have to correct today? And you wake us up. With all of it spread out before us, God, there's no room for us to even think because you've already. There's no room for us to wonder because you've already. You're already there. When we have awakened in the morning, you have already been there. You've already been where you needed to be to help us get our day started. And although, God, this is unscripted, and we don't even know as ministers what to say, you've already given us experience. You've already given us understanding. You've already given us the education, everything we need to speak to your people, to alert your people, to warn your people, to love your people, to school your people. And, Lord, we say thank you for using us today. We could be walking around without a purpose, trying to figure out why we're here like so many others. We haven't tapped into our worth. We didn't think we were worthy. But each and every day, you let us know that we're worthy of your love and we're worthy to be used. We're worthy of growth, of that spiritual growth. And we thank you so much, God, for that plan that was laid out before we were even formed in our mother's womb. We thank you, Father. We thank you for paying the bills, that despite the fact that we are geographically separated, that we could still be one, that we still have the ability
that even though I'm not next door to Pastor Charlotte, that I could still get a word from Pastor Charlotte. That I may not be near Pastor KL in the same state, but I still can get a word from you, God. So we say thank you. Thank you for just planning this all out. You know, when we wanted to do something else, you rerouted us. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we pray for every single individual this morning who has, we've talked about, God, that have caused some level of infraction. We pray for the elder who killed his wife, God, that he would turn his life around. And he's going to serve many years in jail, God. As you spare his life, God, we pray that he would help those on the inside, that you would turn his life around, that his life is not over, that he would be a living witness to anybody in any shape, form, or fashion. The EMT worker, dear Heavenly Father, that he would be remorseful for what he's done and how he's taken advantage of not just a person, but a sick person, not just a person who's sick, God, but an elder. And Lord, we pray that he just turns everything around and now he lives for you, even though he has to spend time. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with the person who even laced the candy. For whatever the reason that they did it, whether it was a joke, whether it was malice, whatever it was, God, we ask that they surrender to you and they give their life to you, God. And we're giving you thanks that the five-year-old was not hurt or damaged or ill even more than he actually was. So there's so much to be grateful for today, God, as you always touch upon our life. And you always show us the way. We give you glory and honor today. So rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Yeah, we talk about so much stuff. We talk about so much stuff from day to day. And, you know, it's amazing. I'm so amazed at God. You know, he is such a good God, and you know, I can't thank him enough for all that he does for us on a regular basis. So much he does on a regular basis. You know, when we think about all the stuff that we aim to do in life, when we think about, you know, how we didn't do this, you know, I think about all the time there's a thin line between right and wrong. And we, you know, we talked about how, you know, this EMT worker made the decision to rip off this woman for next to nothing. For next to nothing. You're going to jail for nothing. Well, how many times have it, you know, what it could have been up. Let me just say it like that. Could have been us. The fine line when we looked at something or when we thought about something or when we said something or when we almost said something, you know, or when we had that thought, but God just didn't let it go forward. How many times could it have been us? God has been so good to us. You know, if you go back in the recess of your mind, you think about all the stuff that you could have done, the things that you almost did. But God, the times when I was about to say, but God, you know, I always talk about, you know, my youngest daughter, and, you know, I've had to have a conversation with her just saying too much. She blew an opportunity. Because what she said wasn't wrong, but it was just, you should have just kept quiet. You weren't wrong. And it's so hard to tell, especially young people these days, is, you know, because the first is, well, I didn't say anything wrong. And you're right, you didn't say anything wrong. But you said too much, but you should have been quiet. And she was, I was on the phone with her, and she was talking, and something was happening in the background, and I was trying to tell her, stop talking, just stop talking, because immediately I thought about the last time. You just said too much. She was like, well, I was just trying to say, and I was like, oh, brother. That's us. You know, for her, it's, do you say too much? You know, and then for you, it might be something else. It's the same thing with this EMT worker. You know, for argument's sake, when, you know, like I said, when they say, you know, it's a moment of opportunity, you wouldn't have even had considered doing something. You wouldn't have even considered saying something. But that opportunity presents itself. And are we smart enough to say, hey, you know, let me not. You know, the best gift that we as baptized individuals have ever been given is the Spirit of the Lord. Because it's at work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, 366 days a year. We don't ever have to worry about, is the Spirit of the Lord on his hand? Because he always is. But what happens is, we override it so often. You know, she said to me, she said, I started not to do such and such a thing, and I said, that was the Spirit of the Lord talking to you, but you went against it. Even if it was innocently, you went against it. And we've got to learn to be, you know, silent in many ways, whether it's in words, deeds, or thoughts. Yeah, curtail that thought. Doesn't always have to, you know, come and then you change, you know, you fix it. You could fix it with those things don't even enter your mind anymore. Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. You know, God is amazing as he, you know, he reinvents us. He remolds us. He reshapes us. You know, there are things that wouldn't even enter your mind anymore. But that's all when you surrender your life to God. That all comes from living and learning. And allowing God to redirect your thoughts, your deeds, your you know, everything that you go through, your words. You can change. You can, you if you look back, you know, Pastor K.O. has, you know, coined the phrase, my former life. We all have a former life where we have given our life to the Lord. And some of the things we are a little farther away from than others. But at the end of the day, yeah, it can change. So my word to you today is give your life to God. Give it all up so he can rearrange and reshape who you used to be into a brand new who you are now. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, my ladies, for always coming through big time for us. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Jesus your life right now, or let God reshape who you are in its entirety right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Therapeutic Thursday. God spare our life. I love you.